Good morning.
We're going to learn about God's Word through the Bible. If you have a Bible, please open your Bible to Daniel chapter 12. This is the last chapter in Daniel, verses 1 through 13. Daniel chapter 12, verses 1 through 13. Daniel chapter 12, verses 1 through 13. At that time, Michael, the great prince who protects your people, will arise. There will be a time of distress, such as has not happened from the beginning of nations until then. But at that time, your people, everyone whose name is found written in the book, will be delivered. Multitude who sleep in the dust of the earth will... In the dust of the earth will awake, some to everlasting life, others to shame and everlasting contempt. Those who are wise will shine like the brightness of the heavens, and those who lead many to righteousness like the stars forever and ever. But you, Daniel, roll up and seal the words of the scroll until the time of the end. Many will go here and there to increase knowledge. Then I, Daniel, looked, and there before me stood two others, one on this bank of the river and one on the opposite bank. One of them said to the man clothed in linen, who was above the waters of the river, "How long will it be before these astonishing things are fulfilled?" The man clothed in linen, who was above the waters of the river, lifted his right hand and his left hand toward heaven, and I heard him swear by him who lives forever, saying, "It will be for a time, times and a half a time. When the power of the holy people has been finally broken, all these things will be completed." I heard, but I did not understand, so I asked, "My Lord, what will be the outcome of all this be?" He replied, "Go your way, Daniel, because the words are rolled up and sealed. Until the time of the end, many will be purified, made spotless and refined, but the wicked will continue to be wicked. None of the wicked will understand, but those who are wise will understand. From the time that the daily sacrifice is abolished, and the abomination that causes desolation is set up, there will be 1,290 days. Blessed is the one who waits for and reaches the end of the 1,335 days. As for you, go your way until the end. You will rest. Then at the end of the days, you will rise to receive your allotted inheritance." Bible tells us that there will be an end time. And of course, when we hear about the end time, we're interested in when this is going to happen. But the Bible does not tell us when that will come. But the Bible emphasizes the fact that there will be an end time, but not the timing. If you look at Matthew, when a disciple asked Jesus when the end time will come, Jesus answered, "About that day or hour no one knows, not even angels in heaven, nor the Son, but only the Father." So the Jesus Christ was not interested in the timing. And it's not that important. But what's more important is that there will be an end time. And how are you going to live until then? That's the more important question. And we can say the same thing about our death. The Bible doesn't emphasize when we will die, when each of us will die. But what's important is how we're going to live, knowing that we will die one day. Daniel chapter 12, it talks about the end time. But what's important is, again, how are we going to live as a believer? Until the end time. And that's the most important thing about Daniel chapter 12. We just read entire chapter of but we're going to focus on verses 1 through 4 today. So let's read verses 1 through 4 one more time. At that time, Michael, the great prince who protects your people, will arise. There will be a time of distress, such as not happened from the beginning of nations until then. But at that time, your people, everyone whose name is found written in the book, will be delivered. You see the word "at that time." That refers to probably the time of Antiochus Epiphanes, who was a false prophet. And the people of Israel suffered a lot under him. So it refers to that, the phrase "at that time." But it's not just that, but it also, the phrase "at that time" refers to the end time, how the period in which we have to live before the end time as well. So it appears to have double meanings. So at that time, so people will be persecuted for their faith, and people will experience sufferings. And then they will, it says, Michael the great prince will arise. The word arise means victory, will prevail. If you look at the Bible in the last book, you can see the Michael fights a Satan called a dragon, and also in there the word arise is used, and this the word arise means to prevail over suffering and in spiritual battles. And if you look at verse 1, it says, at that time your people, everyone whose name is found written in the book, will be delivered. So this book, the book of life, is mentioned. So everyone whose name is found in written in the book of life will be delivered. So we need to look forward to the time of deliverance. It's not a time of that we need to fear the end time is. It'll be also a time of deliverance. And the book of life was mentioned by Moses first. That's Moses prayed to God and mentioned the book of life. And also, in the Revelation, the book of life is mentioned as well. So, sufferings that we experience as Christians, we have to think as a sign of a deliverance as well. The end time will come. That doesn't mean we have to fear. For Christians, every suffering is a sign of the coming complete deliverance. In this sinful and imperfect world, many things will happen that causes us to suffer. But at the end time, everything will turn into deliverance. So we need to find peace in that. All the sufferings will be taken away from us at the time of deliverance. Let's take a look at Isaiah chapter 9. Isaiah chapter 9, verses 1 through 7. Isaiah chapter 9, verses 1 through 7. At that time, Michael... Oh, this is not the right place. Sorry. Isaiah chapter 9. Nevertheless, there will be no more gloom for those who are in distress. In the past, he humbled the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali, but in the future, he will honor Galilee for the Gentiles by the way of the sea along the Jordan. The people walking in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of the shadow of death, a light has dawned. You have enlarged the nation and increase their joy, and they rejoice before you, as people rejoice at the harvest, as men rejoice when dividing the plunder. For as in the day of Michal, Midian's defeat, you have shattered the yoke that burdens them, the bar across their shoulders, the rod of their oppressor, every warrior's boot used in battle and every garment rolled in blood will be destined for burning. Every God's people will not experience any more distress for those who believe in Christ, who's called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. So the suffering doesn't end in suffering. The suffering will end in joy. So, Jesus Christ will give us everlasting life. The day will come. That's what Isaiah chapter 9 says. And Paul also said in Romans chapter 5. Not only so, but we also glory in our suffering, because we know suffering produces perseverance, perseverance character, and character hope. And hope does not put us to shame, because God's love has been poured out into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. Now, verse 1, therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have gained access by faith into this grace in which we now stand, and we boast in the hope of the glory of God. The sufferings for Christians just doesn't end in sufferings. The sufferings will eventually lead to joy. And we know we tend to fear sufferings. We study, we do our work, we do many things, we try to gain power and glory, and partly because we want to avoid sufferings. Oftentimes in most religious prayers is about, you know, how we can avoid sufferings. But if we learn from Paul, you know, we need to pray that we won't lose hope, even if when we are in the midst of sufferings. You know, we pray for perseverance when we are suffering. And that's how we as Christians need to pray. You know, instead of just always asking for this and that, what we need to pray is that, please, you know, prayer should be, we should not lose hope. Let us not lose hope in the midst of our sufferings. Give us perseverance in the midst of sufferings. Please teach us that suffering is a sign of coming hope. And how can we pray like that? Of course, suffering is not easy for us. But how? Why is that we need to pray like that? Because we know God is working. Even when we are suffering, and we can believe that God's righteousness and good exists, God is proceeding so that the righteousness and good will prevail. Everything is under God's control. Even those who are bad in the eyes of God. We are now experiencing this a pandemic, and we pray, you know, so that God will take pandemic away from us. But even when we're experiencing a pandemic like this, God's hand is working. And God is using it for His ultimate just righteousness and justice. This is what faith makes possible. Paul in the Philippians said, "For me to live is to Christ, and to die is gain." He said he wants to be in Christ by leaving this world, but there are things that has been he needs to do. That's why he's living. That's what Paul said. So that's why Paul said, "To live is Christ, to die is gain." So in that sense, our ultimate purpose as a Christian is not to avoid sufferings. Sometimes we may need to go into sufferings to fulfill God's will in us. Do you remember Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, who are friends of Daniel? They went into the blazing furnace. They went into the lion's den. And what happened to them? They experienced God's glory. Now, let me tell you a little bit about myself. 17 years ago, when I graduated from a seminary in South Korea, and I was coming back to Judah Megami Church as a youth minister, and I was looking forward to that. I was so excited. It was a difficult 3 years of learning at the seminary, and I was coming back to Japan, so I was so excited. And I was excited about working as a youth minister at Megami Church. But about 4 years ago, when I graduated from another seminary in the U.S., I was not too excited about coming back to Judah Megami Church. My wife told me, "If you don't like if you don't like to go back to Megami Church, why did you accept the offer to be a pastor at Megami Church?" She's told me, "You can live in the U.S. or you can create a new church if you don't want to be a pastor. You don't have to be a pastor. That's what my wife said. But this is how I felt at the time. This is what God wants me to do. To go back to the Megumi Church. And to become the pastor after Seino Sensei. And if I refuse this offer, I will not be able to fulfill my life as a blessed life. And I won't be able to again find a meaning in life. So, but at the same time, I did not want to take that job. Although I felt that was the right thing to do, I did not like to do it. Because there are going to be difficulties. There are going to be quite huge challenges. I knew I was going to have that. So I have to think about, you know, to do what God wants me to do. Or to avoid that because I feel I'm comfortable doing. And it was clear, of course, to follow God's will. As a Christian, I knew there was going to be difficulty. There are going to be blessings and joy and smile and growth and grace and hope. So I knew I had to do the right thing. And that is why I came back to Megumi Church. But still every day I experienced difficulties. Almost every week, I feel like maybe I should quit being the pastor. But there is a blessing, there is joy, there is smile, there is grace, there is hope, there is growth, there is salvation. And I know my name is written in the book of life, and that's an honor. That's why I'm here. I'm standing right here. Right now, my life is being a pastor of Tsujiya Megumi Church. Right now, I can't think of becoming a pastor in another church. And if I quit being a pastor of Tsujiya Megumi Church, and I think I won't be a pastor any longer, that's how I feel. Because I know these sufferings will continue to hope, and that's the promise given by God. Let's look at verse 2 of today's chapter. Multitudes who sleep in the dust of the earth will awake, some to everlasting life, others to shame and everlasting contempt. This refers to the resurrection, bodily resurrection at the end time. So some will have everlasting life and others will have everlasting shame and contempt. As the Genesis writes, the Lord God formed a man from the dust of the ground and eventually will go back to the dust of the ground. But at the end time, we will receive our body. That is, we will have everlasting life, and others will have everlasting shame and contempt. And those who receive the everlasting life will be like follows. If you look at verse 3, those who are wise will shine like the brightness of the heavens, and those who lead many to righteousness like the stars forever and ever. So once we are given bodies again, and who receive everlasting life, will be like that. Will be wise. What is wisdom? What is wisdom according to the Bible? Let's look at Proverbs. Chapter 1, verse 7 says, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction." And Proverbs chapter 9, verse 10 says, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and knowledge of the Holy One is understanding." So, the fear of the Lord is the knowledge, is the wisdom. So even if you boast of your knowledge, if you have no fear of God, that's not useful. So, if you don't know God, if you don't fear God, your knowledge is useless. And this wisdom is very important. In this world, people seek knowledge without God, but there is no true knowledge without God. So if you don't know God, you have no knowledge of the truth. People who make a lot of money, people who have lots of power, people who are very, very popular, are they wise? If you don't know, have faith that place Jesus Christ in the center of your life, then you're not truly a wise person. Otherwise, you have knowledge that is useless. So, the wise people who are wise, that Daniel mentioned, is the people who acknowledge God, who put Jesus Christ in the center of their lives, and who have the right judgment and insight. What about those who lead many to righteousness? What kind of people are they? People who ask for justice, people who engage in public protests, people who engage in human rights issues, people who engage in so-called the right things. What is the right thing? The one thing we know, there is no one who is righteous. If you look at Romans chapter 3, verses 10 through 18. Romans chapter 3, verses 10 through 18. As it is written, "There is no one righteous, not even one. There is no one who understands. There is no one who seeks God. All have turned away. They have together become worthless. There is no one who does good, not even one. Their throats are open graves. Their tongues practice deceit. The position of vipers is on their lips. Their mouths are full of cursing and bitterness. Their feet are swift to shed blood. Ruin and misery mark their ways, and the way of peace they do not know. There is no fear of God before their eyes." And this message is applicable to us. Just because we say we believe in God doesn't mean we do the right thing. Only God who lives in me is the righteous person. That's the only the right person. And so we need to be humble before God. No one can say, "I am righteous." And many times people believe that we are right just because we believe in God, and we go into arguments. Just because you believe in God doesn't mean you are right. And there will be no end to this kind of argument. So some people are too self-righteous. This is an issue. Well, my wife often tells me that you think you're the only faithful Christian, and you think you're right, but that's not right. Of course, I'm not happy when I hear that, but that's true. So, what does it mean to lead people to righteousness? So, if you try to lead people to you just because you think you're right, that's not right. That's not the right thing to do. To lead people to God, to lead people to Christ, that's the way we need to pursue. Although we believe in Jesus Christ, sometimes we turn our back to God without knowing that we are acting self-righteous. We need to try to live as God leads. So we need to make sure we lead a type of life so that we will lead people to righteousness, people to lead our family members to righteousness, to lead our neighbors to righteousness. And that's what Daniel is talking about. And Daniel was like that. So many people who leave others to righteousness will be like we are what God wants us to be. Jesus Christ said, "We are the salt of the earth and we are the light of the world." God said, "You will be the light of the world." By believing in Christ, even if this world is filled with darkness, if you fear God and worship God, then people will lead you to righteousness, and you'll become the light of the world and brighten up the world, and then you live as a God's child forever. Let's look at verse 4 of today's chapter. But you, Daniel, roll up and seal the words of the scroll until the time of the end. Many will go here and there to increase knowledge. So he said, seal the words of the scroll. That doesn't mean to hide the words. Means to make sure to protect the words, to make it secure. So God, Daniel is saying that we need to understand the word of God. And something similar is said in Psalms chapter 1, verses 2 through 3. Psalms chapter 1, verses 2 through 3. You may be successful wherever you go, keep this book of the law always on your lips. Meditate on it day and night. But whose delight is in the law of the Lord, and who meditates on this law day and night? So he says, meditate on it day and night. That means, you know, chew on it. You know, you know the cows chew their food. It's in the same way, we need to chew on the word of God. We need to taste it. We need to continue to do that, and then it becomes our nutrition. It's not just think about yourself. To chew on the Word of God. To make sure the God's words become accomplished in your life. And of course, there will be sufferings. It's a blessing to live a type of life the Bible says, but that accompanies sufferings. But we are not experiencing sufferings for the purpose of sufferings. We experience suffering for the purpose of everlasting life and God's glory. So we need to put Jesus Christ in the center of our lives. And we need to seek what God's will is. Psalm chapter 1 verse 1 says, let's look at Psalm 1, chapter 1, verse 1. Blessed is the one who does not walk in step with the wicked, or stand in the way that sinners take, or sit in the company of mockers. So does not walk in steps with the wicked. And it walk in steps with the wicked doesn't mean the doing something that we do daily. Sometimes that we take for granted that are bad. So it's not very clearly things that are evil. We say things, for example, we need money to live a happy life, or human relation is the most important thing. So the things that most people think are actually true somewhat. Jesus was, you know, different. He says something like, the blessed are the poor, for example. What's important most is our relationship with God. Sometimes we may have to, sacrifice our families to be with God. Jesus said that. He said, you know, take up your cross and follow me, he said. So we're not saying we need to become poor, or we can take light over our family members. That's not what it's saying. But what is really important is our relationship with God, and when we have a right relationship with God, these other things will be taken care of. So what we learn from Daniel is that we need to chew on the Word of God and making sure that God's Word gets fulfilled in our lives. And when we do that, we have real prosperity and we will prevail. Instead of depending on world knowledge, instead we need to turn to God's word and there you find salvation, life, knowledge, light and righteousness. And God will be with us. Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, thank you for your message through Daniel. And we have your message with us. Thank you for teaching us many important things. Instead of depending on our worldly knowledge, let us turn to your will and your message. Thank you, Lord, for everything. Thank you for leading us to this truth. We thank you. I pray in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.